Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name's Ed Piskor.
And I'm Tom Scholey.
Jim Rugg is wrapping up a big project, man, on Kayfabe duties. Can't be with us at the moment. Today, we're going through Kevin Eastman's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles autobiography that he put out through Heavy Metal. Came out in the early aughts. But first, Tom, what do you have?
I have Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics. It's the story of Jack Kirby's life and all the different comics he created and the different people he met, including Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, who show up in here. And I drew it in pencil, the same art material that Jack Kirby used to make all his comics. I also have Fantastic Four Grand Design. It's the whole story of the Fantastic Four in one volume from start to finish, and then includes a reprint of This Man, This Monster at this oversized format, colored by kayfaber Ed Piskor. And I also have my Patreon. Go to patreon.com, search Tom Scholey, and see the various comics that I've been working on for the past year or so. And you can check out my YouTube channel, Total Recall Show, where we recently reviewed the Snake Eyes movie.
Red Room Comics, Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit is the name of the game in the Red Room universe. Every issue of Red Room, completely self-contained. You're going to get a complete story in every issue. Try to make it as satisfying as possible. Just wait till you see the trade paperback, man, because that's going to be a completely different experience. If you see these comics in your local comic shop, scoop it up, check it out. If you don't have a shop nearby, go to the Fantagraphics website at my link tree in the description below this video. Fourth issue going to hit the stands mid-September. There's going to be a reprint of issue number one for the people who missed out on the OG. We sold those things out really rapidly and went into putting together reprints as soon as possible. Man, there's going to be about 7,000 of those out there, man, so get your hands on those. Also at the link tree is my Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiskor. $3 gets you the archive there. And you're going to be able to read the comics before they hit paper. Over 150 pages of comics up there as we speak. Also, check out Jim's Patreon, patreon.com/JimRugg. He has a lot of out-of-print material that he made very generously available to you at his Patreon. Hundreds and hundreds of pages of content. Check that stuff out. Also, Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive is his collection from Image Comics of all of the hardcover books that Image produced, and that is rapidly going out of print. So go to your local comic shop and get that as soon as you can. Tom, I have this sitting on the shelves, been threatening to make a video about this for a long, long time, man. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles autobiography by Kevin Eastman that he put out through his Heavy Metal kind of brand imprint that he bought.
As opposed to Stan Lee's bio-autography.
This is an interesting collection. You know, the graphic design, this is before design really came into to comics very much.
Yeah, before 2002. Before Chip Kidd started, putting together comics.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, like, interesting stuff we're going to see in here that you just have. It's a document of a time and a place.
Well, this is from the designer of the art of Jack Kirby
book. Right. Yeah. Sure. So he doesn't bury the lead, dude. Like, you know, down to the font choice, which is not so easy to read or whatever. He's giving some backstory into, like, the lineage of, like, the Eastman family and how he sort of came into being interested in comics and art. My sister's husband went to Kevin Eastman's high school, and this painting is still up there above the lockers, has been preserved. But you get, this is probably one of the first places where you would get a glimpse of all of these, like, kind of earliest sketches. You know, these guys are great archivists, and they've held on to all their stuff, and that's the beauty of this thing.
Well, because they never set up shop in New York, so they have space. They have, like, the big, like, that big house that the turtles live in the movie.
It's like, there's all this great stuff, too. Like, dude, a photo, like, dude, that's millions of dollars worth of comics right here, man. This is a photo of the first printing hitting their house. I'm sure you've been in this position. I've been in this position where you receive your boxes from your self-published effort, and then it becomes an exercise of how the fuck do I get this out of my house? One of the things you do, man, got to write your press release. Mm-hmm. This is a very no-frills press release. I remember people citing the press release as, like, a big deal for they had an uncle who worked in a newsroom and wrote up the press release. It's so no-frills. I guess just maybe no other cartoonists had their shit together enough to, like, do that. But there's nothing, no big deal about
that. It is kind of, the first time you do a press release, it is kind of shocking that, oh, this is what it is. You know, like, you picture the ticker tape running behind you. Right. Like, but it, yeah, it's just, you type up a little piece of paper that says what your thing is.
Some fun anecdotal stuff, like a local hometown paper in the midst of issue 2, you're giving some shine to the guys, man. And look at how, like, youthful and happy they are, man, before things really... like
Before success, you know, destroys your life.
Yeah, and sort of drives them apart. This was the cover... Or no, this was in that Amazing Heroes interview that we did. And what's super cool... So it goes macro, then micro. So, like, it's a quick jaunt from earliest days to, like, film set, right? Mm-hmm. And then you start to get... into the nitty-gritty, man, mm-hmm. with Xeroxes from the original script, and then lots of thumbnails. You get to see thumbnails and production artwork from every Eastman Laird issue mm-hmm. of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in this thing, designing the covers. These guys put some work in. I always thought that this was like a wonky-ass splash page. Mm-hmm. And if these are the three tries, like, to me, that's such a more dynamic image. And what's funny is even here... which is where he pretty much
he went with that one.
Nope, try new pose. Funny how that works, mm-hmm. huh? You could see the Corbin mm-hmm. in this stuff, and he cites Corbin a bunch of times.
Yeah, Corbin, Von Bode,
Kirby.
Yeah, Miller.
But you see, man, like this thing, I held this thing so close. I always appreciated the story of Eastman and Laird is kind of an American Dream kind of story. Yeah. I feel like some of the origin stuff that I learned from this book, the fact that, you know, they got the money from Uncle Quentin mm-hmm. to publish the thing, that's how Eastman gets first billing, I feel like. If it was Peter Laird's uncle, mm-hmm. maybe it's Laird and Eastman's Ninja Turtles.
Well, I feel like in those kind of pairings, there's usually like one guy who really cares a lot about whose name goes first, and then another guy who just doesn't really care that much, and so the guy who cares the most gets his way.
I think another way of saying that is that in a lot of, like, successful collaborations, like, you gotta have, like, an alpha, and you gotta have the recessive guy. You can't have two alpha cats batting heads.
Who's gonna do all the work if you don't have a guy who's kind of hanging back, you know? While, you know, the front man's tripping over himself.
Look at this man, Casey Jones. Character designs and different names for him. Batman, Batboy, Lefty, Babe, the Kid, Pinch.
Yeah, it is like, you know, how do you come up with a successful concept? You got to come up with a lot of really dumb stuff first.
How about these super tight thumbs, man?
Yeah. I didn't picture this as their process. The way their comic looks, it looks so much like somebody just starting in the upper left-hand corner and drawing their way to the lower right.
Wait till you see the color stuff. Like, there's a lot of, like, color studies that are done mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of effort and toil on the back end going into this stuff.
Well, because it's got this, like, charming, naive surface, but, yeah, obviously more thought than you would think is going into the structure.
They said that he says that they printed a sepia color edition of issue 1, but he hasn't seen it in a while, so it must not have been that big of a run.
Yeah.
P.O. Box 3071, Munhall, PA 15120, if you guys have a copy of that thing. Using the blue line method for the color on these, mm-hmm. like, one-color joints. You know, showing these sketches that then become, you know, the cover for, like, the role-playing game. And the role-playing game people, like, saw, you know, this painting and automatically, like, asked to use that for the back cover.
Yeah, I just bought that, like, the role-playing weeks game? Ago. Yeah, I've, like, two role-playing game, like, handbook things.
With a lot of art, right?
Oh, yeah, ton of art. Yeah, stuff you've never seen. I'll bring them in.
Absolutely, we got to do video on that, man.
Yeah, they're, like, the thickness of those, like, first trades.
Yeah. So the division of labor is explained a little bit here, and at a certain point, the layouts it's Kevin Eastman doing the layouts, mm-hmm. man. Dude, this is all the design work that went into their kind of like Munden's Bar, Star Wars Cantina.
Yeah, because they have like that whole Triceraton universe is like so lush and so great and such a change of pace in the story. So like. it is cool to see that like so much thought went into it.
Yeah, it was about like 3 or 4 issues worth of stuff.
Yeah, I love that little turn that the narrative takes.
That's the cool thing, you know, like it's their comic. They could do whatever the fuck they want with it, man. We've been subterranean for a while. Let's get them off the planet.
Yeah, you got to change it up.
Now the thing is, like, I feel like that stuff, you know, like, is when it started to lose.
Is that your least favorite? Okay, because to me, it's like, no, that's awesome. Like, that's all part of it. It's like, it becomes Star Wars for a little bit. And then they come back home, and then there's some, like, you know, getting back to normal kind of stuff that's awesome. And then the issue after that is where it kind of starts coming apart, for me at least.
Yeah, and then it's just like, it's fully off the rails. Forever after that, pretty much. Just, like, letting other dudes do whatever. The snow in that Michelangelo thing, it gets very... Because it's all just polka dots. It's not, like, varying, like...
Right, it doesn't have a rhythm or something.
Yeah, it's just almost like trying to do Zip-A-Tone or something. Like, they're all evenly spaced. And it just creates such a weird, like, haze. You have these intermittent gallery pieces that will... explore like lots of the color choices and things, but it goes through the first, you know, dozen issues. The micro series explains that, you know, the Donatello one, that's the Peter Laird issue, like
the
Raphael one is Eastman, and with the Kirby stuff, what they wanted to do was give all proceeds and profits to Jack Kirby's legal battles. Kirby declined.
Oh wow, awesome. He's you know, he's not looking for a handout.
Yeah Proud guy. Toy designs we're gonna start seeing in here. This is a cool book that nobody talks about, man.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it.
Drawing those like Turtles in Time, the first reprint covers. You know, all the sketches that go into that. Like, he produces a lot of conceptual stuff before he commits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's like you gotta do a lot of work to make something look this effortless. Which, again, is, like, I think that's a big part of the appeal of these early Turtles comics, is just they seem like somebody just having fun, just goofing around.
It's so interesting, because, like, the thumbnails have such clarity. And one of the things that I like about his art really is just the mania with all the duotone and all the, like, it's kind of hard to settle on stuff. This is that Return to New York story, man, where Eric Talbot is like doing those two pagers, like those two page spreads, like that face, and just like there's almost no white on the page.
Yeah, and then this stuff's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's more Bode.
Yeah, that like storyline I like too, where they have like the full head cap kind of masks.
Yeah, I'm a fan of all that stuff. I feel like we'll end up doing
every issue
at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I love it all too, but there is something magical about that first, absolutely, like, you know, Eastman and Laird, like, full
absolutely run. And then the stuff that, you know, is kind of whatever to me, even though, like, I like Bisley. This is just such a vanity project that I don't think about it that much. But stuff like Body Count and basically his patronizing of Bisley's artwork.
Right, yeah, patron of the arts.
Yeah, the man on high. And then City at War is, like, before that last Ronin, it was their like, last, you know, collaboration in the Mirage stuff. So it was just more spiritual, kind of like the last Ronin. It was more spiritual than actually putting pencil to paper.
Yeah.
But when you see this, it's like, I'm looking at roughs and things. You know, it looks like he's doing something. You know, I think they might have laid out an issue and then just let those guys do their thing. Anyhow, man. Heck of a book. I grabbed this the second I saw it, and I don't think I've ever seen this in the wild outside of, like, that first experience with it, but I totally recommend it. There's been many different kinds of versions of this with probably all the same material reprinted from IDW and various artist editions and things like that, but I don't know of a place where you get it all in one tome. The cool thing about the cartoonist kayfabe community, though, is that people drop some comments whenever they, you know, have some knowledge that we're not getting across, man. Mm-hmm. So if you guys have knowledge of these reprints and process materials being published elsewhere, drop a comment. We'll pin it to the top, man, and you know, give people access to a resource to find this thing. If not, you know, maybe you could find this book you know, on your local comic book shelves. Mm-hmm. Any final words?
I wish I had this would have been a great resource to have, like, at an earlier age when I'm trying to figure this stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, man. Like, it's really freeing to realize that what you see on the final printed page isn't the first draft. Mm-hmm. You can make some mistakes, you can make adjustments, man, but in the same way that films are shot on paper first, usually in a storyboard stage, maybe set up a blueprint, man. Maybe set up some roughs for yourself. That's the lesson we learned here today, man. Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. What's out there, Tom?
Check out Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics, Fantastic Four Grand Design, and my YouTube channel, Total Recall Show.
Jim Rugg couldn't be with us today because he's on Kayfabe Business, man. But hit up his Patreon, patreon.com/Jim Rugg. He has a lot of PDFs of out-of-print materials, hundreds of pages worth of stuff. Grab Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive, his Image Comics collection that is rapidly going out of print. Red Room Comics are in the wild. Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit. Go get them at your local comic shop or go to the Fantagraphics website at my link tree in the description below this video. Order your Red Room comics, every issue completely self-contained, or hit up my Patreon to read the comics digitally. Patreon.com/Ed Piskor, $3 for the archive. We have Cartoonist Kayfabe newsletter. Sign up for that at the link below. It'll keep you updated with all of our stuff. Every 2 weeks, we send it out Saturday morning so that you can have access and links to the preceding couple of weeks' videos, as well as other tips and tricks and secrets that we give to the newsletter subscribers. We also have t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video. Jimmy is not with us right now, Tom, so you got to give him those marching orders, man, so we could be on our way.
Read more comics.